Are you ready to rock, boys and girls?
Behold,
it's the single greatest thing on earth.
Are you listening to me?
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios, it's the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and by Garten Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600.
Hold your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Ow. Now, here's Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. Ow.
Tuesday morning to you. How are you doing? Hope it's a good start, good day. Little cloudy day, but in downtown Woodbine, nice nonetheless. Greg Pogue, John Burton. John is off today. He's got some Impact Wrestling television duties that he had to attend to this morning, so John will be off today. He'll be back in tomorrow morning. Patton Cook running the board, as usual. Running things, controlling the knobs over there. Hey, Patton, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Good to be here. Missed John today, but it's good to just me and you in the studio today.
This is our first, you know, just you and I, right? Since, are you in what, week three now?
Week three.
As our producer slash engineer slash gopher.
Right. Man of all trades, I'm trying to be. But yes, week three, and it's been a blast so far. You guys are great making it easy, and Not giving me too hard of a time every now and then.
No, you're gonna get it sometime. Oh, yeah. You know, we're so rough on people around here. Yeah. You know, and I've got a no saying about me. If you can't get along with me, that's your fault.
Right.
Okay. So, because I start on the positive with everybody and work to the middle, and then if I get past the middle the other way, yeah, forget it. Anyway, hey, Pete Weber, and love John, obviously, but hey, what can you say? Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators, will be co-hosting the show next hour. That's always fun to have Pete on, even more so today against the backdrop of the expansion draft tomorrow, the draft, the regular draft this weekend, free agency next week, the Arvidsson trade, the Ellis trade, who was protected, who wasn't for the expansion draft. Just a lot of things juggling in the air right now with the Predators and probably still more things to come as well. So Pete will be on with us, and we're gonna go Pete squared next hour. Pete Pranica is the television voice of I think I put Steve Pete was on the tweet was on Bally's. He's the radio voice. I messed that tweet up, so I need to go back and change that. But Pete is the TV voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Of course, we carry the Grizzlies games, and Eric Hasseltine, the play-by-play announcer, we have Eric on quite often. But they've had Pete on during the years, but certainly to talk about the Grizzlies, what's going on in Memphis on a variety of topics, game six tonight of the NBA. So Pete Pranica will join us at 10:25 tomorrow morning. This morning. That would be a trick. This morning. So with that. Also, this morning, since we're sort of a little upside down, not upside down, but just some moving some furniture around with John not in. Coming up at 9:25, we'll have OVC Commissioner Beth DeBush. OVC Football Media Day was yesterday. We'll talk with Beth about that at 9:25. Of course, SEC Football Media Day is yesterday, today, tomorrow, Thursday, down in Hoover, Alabama, day one in the books. And we'll touch on some of that in just a few more moments as well. But looking forward to have Pete, and he will be plugged in, right? Just not here, but sounding better.
And we already kind of tested it out. My first trial with the access button down here. I think we're going to have no problems. I'm knocking on every piece of wood here, but good to have Pete on. He's an awesome guy. I got to talk to him a few times in my short stint kind of in this business, and just a kind man. That's really the word I've got.
He had apparently he was up in Buffalo. I think Buffalo, that's where the Blue Jays are playing. I think he was up there watching the Blue Jays this weekend. Of course, he is the king of Buffalo, but didn't get back. Had the flights delayed or something, didn't get back till late last night. So always enjoy Pete coming on. NBA Game 6 tonight, Suns and the Bucks, 8 o'clock on ABC. The Bucks trying to close it out, up 3-2. Got the advantage with the Game 5 win in Phoenix Saturday night. Milwaukee At home, 5-point favorite. The over-under is 222 points. They blew past that 220 over-under on Saturday night, big time. And the one before, they didn't even get close to that number, and the over-under total has been about the same all the way through. And that, quite frankly, about every game has been in that 4.5, 5-point home team range. We were talking about it, you know, with John yesterday. He thinks it's a game seven. Wasn't totally convinced of it. I think that the Bucks will close it out tonight. The first championship, NBA championship since 1971, when they had Lou Alcindor, pre-Kareem, Lou Alcindor, Oscar Robertson, and that crew. I think the Bucks close it out, but I'm like John. I'm not convinced either. I could see this going seven.
And I think it's interesting because this is the first time, as you mentioned, the Bucks haven't been in this situation where they have to get one more game before a title. So this is new territory for them. And then again, for the Suns, they've kind of been the comeback kids and the hot team all year. One thing I will say, Chris Paul, he's got his buddy Foster reffing him tonight, and that kind of the infamous. Chris Paul's never won a playoff game with Scott Foster reffing. He is going to be the ref tonight for game six. So it's going to be a fun little battle, one we're all tuning in to for sure. So fun night of basketball.
Yeah, and I just wonder if – now, Chris Paul, I think, had 21 and 12 assists the other night, right, ballpark around both of those. As a matter of fact, I can tell you exactly right here. I got it right in front of me. I had 21 and 11 assist. It just seems like he's running out of gas a little bit. Still productive number wise, but at the end of game five, falling down late in the game, it just seems like, what is he, 36 years old, that it's, I don't say he's out of gas, but I think he's starting to run on some fumes a little bit.
And he's never made it this far. He's never made it on a playoff run this long. So usually his season has been done a month ago, but right now he's in uncharted territory, and you'd have to say the Suns are going to look to him tonight because I think Devin Booker is going to get his, but a leader like Chris Paul, he's going to have to be on the floor well over 35 minutes tonight for the Suns to really have a chance to go into a hostile Milwaukee environment.
Well, Giannis is getting his every time out. What, a couple 40s and then the 32 and 9 Saturday. Chris Middleton, when he's on like he is, that the tilt – I think if you just want to go, because they're different players, I know, but just a player, that means the A-list player is Giannis and Booker on each side. They sort of wash each other out. Now, what's that next tier of Middleton and Holiday have been much more superior the last two games, especially Holiday. He had that stinker in game four, but Holiday 27 and 13 Saturday, Middleton 29, that 13, 27 and 13 assist. The Bucks got down by 16. Team, but came roaring back, and Chris Paul 8-20-10, a quiet 10-20-10. So it just seems like the big three of the Bucks are playing bigger right now.
And I think with Giannis going out in that Eastern Conference, those last couple games, and the Bucks ended up closing out, I think that's done wonders for Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, because they had that confidence that they can be the guy when they need to be. They really haven't had to be the guy necessarily, but being a second and third guy, I think it's very underrated how hard that is in the NBA. Chris Bosh kind of found that out. Kevin Love found that out with the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's not an easy spot to be in, but those two have really thrived here late in the finals, and they've done well for themselves, and they've given themselves a real shot tonight in game six to really make a moment for a lifetime.
Yeah, and I've got an affinity to Milwaukee, and I was a big Bucks fan back when I was a kid, and I've told you why. I mean, because they had – well, I was a huge Oscar Robertson fan as a kid, and certainly when Lou Alcindor came into the league and then later changed his name, obviously. But Greg Smith, they had a forward, 6'4", 6'5", forward named Greg Smith, who played at Western Kentucky, that I grew up as a kid watching, and then he was a key part of that Bucks run, and I just sort of gravitated to follow them, and you know, and then my Milwaukee love of the Brewers came about in the late 70s, so I always followed the Bucks all the way through. So yeah, I'm pulling for the Bucks tonight. That's just a great city, and hadn't had an NBA championship since 1971. They've had some spots, you know, Sidney Moncrief had some good runs through there, but that is tonight. SEC football media days, day one in the books yesterday, Florida, LSU, South Carolina. Today, Tennessee, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee. SEC. Everybody will get their first glance. SEC football media day wise, anyway, with the new coach Josh Heupel. Tomorrow, Alabama, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. Clark Lee, of course, making his first trip down to Hoover for SEC football media day. Thursday wraps it up. Arkansas, Auburn, Missouri. Just a few of the highlights. One of them is all the players, all the teams were asked, rather the teams, not the players, the coaches, the level of vaccination rate within their teams. And right now, according to Greg Sankey, the commissioner, six of the 14 teams have reached 80% vaccination. Now, if they do or they don't, it's not going to be, we don't expect there to be the, quite frankly, the desegregation that the NFL is going to have. NFL is going to desegregate vaccined and non-vaccined. It's pretty stark, the difference of how they will be treated. Like it, don't like it, take it up with NFLPA and the NFL. Don't shoot the messenger here. But you see, you know, roster reductions and minimums and all of this kind of thing. If NC State baseball taught us anything in the College World Series, now SEC is run by the SEC, not the NCAA. The College World Series is run by the NCAA. That's what they do. They put on, everybody says, where's the NCAA going to do? Well, they still run, as long as they have the March Madness contract, they run all of the championships in all sports, including football, except for the FBS. So they're in control. You got to wonder, again, you have NC State sitting there being pulled out of the College World Series with some positive tests and then the protocols that followed. I wonder where we're going to be if you're sitting there on Thursday and Friday and there's a little, like a mini outbreak on one of these SEC teams. Are they just, the forfeit word is being used. The forfeit word is being used. And there's nothing been finalized on this. But would they, instead of trying to move all these games around and put one here and new there and try to mix everybody's bye weeks up like they were having to do last week? Now, granted, you have, and I don't think teams this year want to give up those money games, non-conference home money games, especially after last year, because that's just, you know, instant money for an 80 to 100,000 game against Bowling Green, for UT example. The college, not the city, but players, since the restart last year, SEC announced they had given 350,000 tests, 340,000 lab, and 10,000 of the rapid antigen kind. So I don't think this story is, we're not out of the woods, no. Friends. We're not out of the woods.
And I think to your point, you mentioned NC State, but you also look at what Vanderbilt did, the reports that if not all, the majority of their team was vaccinated, and that sole reason really put them in the College World Series final. So I think forget the health benefits of getting this vaccine. Look at the competitive edge that it really just gave Vanderbilt in that one singular case. I think coaches are going to be telling their teams, look at what Vanderbilt did. We can really get ahead of other teams if we do this correctly.
Speaking of Vanderbilt, the basketball, men's basketball team announced a home-and-home with Pittsburgh. That two-year home-and-home this coming season, November 24th, the Commodores will go to Pittsburgh. The following season, no date set on that one, Pitt will play at Vanderbilt. Now, these teams haven't played since 1998, that NCAA tournament overtime win against the two seed at the time. 80-74, just a great game. If you recall back to 1988, NCAA second round, 80-74, Vanderbilt overtime win, knocking off the number two seed Pitt at that time. Now, I don't want any smart remarks, okay? But the previous two times, the first time these teams played, Vandy won 33-31 in 1923 and then lost in 1935, 57-37. So if John were here, he'd be asking, did you cover those games? He wouldn't sound like that, but it, you know. But
I won't ask you that.
Good. But he's smart of you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, what else is going on? Oh, by the way, Braves and Padres got rained out last night. That will be made up as a doubleheader tomorrow afternoon, as a matter of fact. So, Zach and Bruno, no show tomorrow. yeah, so tonight, 6:05 and 6:20 down at Truist Park. Last night's pitcher is going to be the starters tonight, Yu Darvish and Kyle Muller. Then the doubleheader tomorrow, seven innings, of course, on these doubleheaders now since they are senior Babe Ruth. 11:05 and 11:20, the first pitch for the first game. And then tomorrow afternoon, 4:05 and 4:20. For the second one, the Mets beat the Reds in 12 innings, I think 15-11 last night. The Mets went for two late, and so yeah, 15-11, and so the Reds fall another half game back of the Brewers, 7.5, and then the Mets are now 4.5 up on the Braves. There is a stretch coming up. Get this, okay? So where are they right now? The Mets are in front of them, right? The Phillies are in front of them. The Nationals are in front of them, being the Braves. Get this schedule, starting next Thursday through Thursday. They're going to play Thursday, Friday, Sunday. They're going to play 9 games in 8 days. And they're against the Phillies and the Mets. Listen to this schedule come. This is the season. This is the season right here. After they play the Mets tonight, two tomorrow, Thursday through Sunday in Philly, 4 games. And then Monday through Thursday with the Mets on the road. And that will be 5 games. They've got a makeup game. There will be a doubleheader Monday. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So they will play the Mets 5 games in 4 days and the Phillies 4 games in 4 days. And then obviously now, wait, you just take it another. So that's 9-8, right? And so you're going to add 3 games in the next 2. So they will play 12 games in 10 days.
Ready or not, yep. Here Braves fans come, and it just all depends how optimistic or how pessimistic you are heading into that one. You could be in first place after that home stretch, really, or you could be kind of find yourselves a seller, and that's not what Braves want at all.
No, they did pick up Jock Peterson from the Cubs, so they look like, you know, they're still right there. I mean, they're only 4.5 back, and if they're pitching, they can get anybody healthy. Still, starting with today, 12 games in 10 days. And it's the Mets, the Phillies, and the Mets. Mm. So, teams you got to beat. All right, that gets us going this morning. Hey, coming up next hour, we mentioned it. Big John is out. Big John. That's John. He's big. He's muscle. He's stout. John will be out today. He'll be back in tomorrow morning. We will have Pete Weber, voice of the Predators, will be our guest co-host next hour. And Pete Pranica, the TV voice of the Grizzlies, will be part of that. But coming up after this break, the OVC commissioner, Beth DeBush.
Hayes Nissan of Rivergate is not the only choice when it comes to buying, selling, or trading your vehicle, but it is the best choice. Located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, Hayes Nissan of Rivergate has been serving the Middle Tennessee community for over 3 decades. That gives you confidence that Hayes Nissan of Rivergate can find the perfect vehicle for your lifestyle and your budget, and their friendly and knowledgeable staff will make sure you are in the right hands. If you're feeling rugged, check out their brand new Titans, or you might be feeling sporty and want to check out the all-new Maximus. And don't forget about their award-winning parts, service, and body shop. They have everything you need to get you back on the road. Go visit them on the web at nissanofrivergate.com, where they are open 24/7 or in person at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. Or if you want to give them a call, it's easy at 615-865-7220. Again, that number is 615-865-7220. That's Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is serving up new summer hours and a fantastic summer menu. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the only place downtown for breakfast or lunch. Start your day with a cast iron waffle and some prime rib hash, or a Kitchen Notes burger and grandma's chicken noodle soup for lunch. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes, located 5th Avenue, downtown in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For this morning, sunshine, highs near 87. For tonight, partly cloudy, 68. For Wednesday, sunshine, highs 91. Wednesday night, clear skies, low 71. Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 92. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky. Sports Radio
Craig Pope, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Goggin Cold Hall, coldest team in town. I just realized next hour, Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators, will be guest co-host. John's out today. He's got Impact Wrestling TV duties to handle this morning and be back tomorrow. Pete Pranica, who is the TV voice of the Grizzlies, will join us. But Pete is a proud alum of Notre Dame. And our next guest is as well, the commissioner of the High Valley Conference, Beth DeBush. Hello. It's Notre Dame Irish Week day today at the here at the old station.
That's right. I'm surprised you just noted that, but I feel bad for you. There's going to be too much Irish talk, but you control the narrative. So I hope we don't go there on you, Greg.
No, you are on here to talk OVC, although, all right, I will ask you one question. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of your Packers this year, yay or nay?
Oh, gosh, I wish I knew the answer. I bet everybody in Green Bay does. My gut tells me no.
Okay. Well, they came out yesterday to offer him a 2-year extension to give him 5 more years and make him the highest paid player, not just quarterback, highest paid player in the NFL, and he said no. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. How could you pass up winters in Green Bay? But seriously, it will obviously have a big impact on the city if he doesn't come back, and it'll be an interesting week or two to follow up there before they go into preseason. I'm sure Pete will have some comments, too. You know, once a Packers fan, always.
Well, good talking to you, Beth. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
OVC Football Media Day yesterday, and what, 39 games and 39 days until the first game. It's here almost, isn't it?
39 days. We kick off the football season with an FCS game, which really should be a good one, with Eastern Illinois playing Indiana State. So they're, gosh, 50 minutes apart, and it's just a wonderful way to start the football season, and I know all of us are anxious. There was so much enthusiasm on the media day virtual site yesterday, just all the coaches and student athletes talking about what we hope will be a much more normal season than last year.
Well, obviously last fall was moved to spring, and then I'll be honest with you, you know, of course I do it from the TSU perspective, being their announcer, but I thought spring went about as smooth as it could happen. I mean, I thought it went very well, as a matter of fact.
Oh, we were really blessed, and it's a tribute to our schools, our student athletes, our medical teams, that number one, the OVC played almost all its games. We only missed one game due to COVID, and it really went through with very little difficulty. Having said that, There was a whole lot of planning and dedication on the part of those that participated to make it happen. So I hope that whole experience is in the rearview mirror, but it speaks to the character and just the commitment to football that our programs have, that it went as smoothly as it did.
Well, and certainly this thing's not over. We hear of the Delta variant and other things and what parts of the country this is surging, that surging, or whatever. But we're going into this, most everybody is at 100% attendance, back to as much as normal as possible. But there's always got to be that eye out. Just talk about watching way things are handling, and I guess each, you know, venue and each school and each city, they go by their own parameters. But certainly there are still protocols in place, correct?
Absolutely. So what do we know right now? We are expecting a bit more guidance from the NCAA within the next week or two. It will come in the form of guidance. It won't be a mandate. My guess is it will be, to your point, tied very much to what the local standards are relative to the rate of infection. At the conference, we'll certainly have to have a policy. I have one drafted on my computer, but it's definitely got drafts all over it because we continue to watch the situation. I don't think it will be as prescriptive as we were last year as well. And my guess is there will be a very big distinction in the treatment of vaccinated versus unvaccinated individuals relative to competition. If things stay as they are with vaccinated individuals not having to test or test as regularly, not having to wear masks, not having to quarantine, should there be a positive case, and unvaccinated individuals being treated with some of the standards that have become second nature to us with the virus. Now, again, that all could change over the next couple weeks, but right now where we are is to think there'll be that level of distinction, and that I think you'll see that across the nation. My hope is that this will be a much smoother experience for our student-athletes, most importantly, once it's time to kick off in just 39 days.
Yeah, it's and by the way, Murray State picked to win yesterday. I saw that ahead of Austin Peay. Just going to give you the rundown. Murray State with 7 first place votes. Austin Peay with 4, with 60, and then really and tied with SEMO in points, 3 first place. UT Martin, TSU, Tennessee Tech, and Eastern Illinois. But Murray State picked yesterday in a vote by the coaches and I believe the media relations folks throughout the league. Beth DeBush with us. She is the commissioner of the High Valley Conference, has been since July of 2009. Beth, where's the transfer portal? You know, you've got NCAA connections. Where is it? Is it in a field out in Iowa somewhere? Where is it?
Yeah, there you go. You know, talk about a busy place, right, in Indianapolis as we manage all of the transfer students and what our new normal is. Because there is so much change in intercollegiate athletics, the transfer portal just being one of those issues, and the change in transfer rules, more importantly, to give students a bit more freedom in their course and what they do over their academic careers. My sense is this will all find a level of balance before it's all said and done. But right now, we certainly see a number of students putting their names into the transfer portal. I think the real concern is that students certainly having that freedom, that is where we are in intercollegiate athletics, but students making sure that they can find a home and they can find a scholarship through this process. Certainly hate to see a student go through this process and find that they really don't have a collegiate home that provides a scholarship to them. So while it provides a level of freedom, there also is a level of risk that as a student transfers, there may not be a scholarship there. So it's a bit of, it's not uncharted territory for us, but it is a different experience, and we have to embrace it. Our world has changed, and we need to accept that as collegiate institutions and the OBC schools, you know, we're ready to change and support our student athletes in this way.
Well, the thing is with the transfer rule and transfer portals, you can go into it. And as you mentioned, there is that risk of it on two fronts, really. You've got incoming recruiting classes taking up spots, and then also those who decided to return, correct, because they have that opportunity to get another year of eligibility that was granted by the NCAA because of the pandemic. So I'm just afraid everybody goes in, there's not going to be enough chairs as they come out.
No, I share your concern, and in no way do I want my statement to say I share your concern to be one to say that we're not supportive of the change that's gone on with the change in the rules. Certainly, we understand that time has come. I just hope for the sake of student athletes that they talk to their current administration and they get good help and advice as they make these decisions. Again, there's every opportunity to transfer, but just to go in with the eyes wide open to make sure that there'll be scholarships on the other ends for the students. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us to make sure that we educate the students, and I know that our schools do, about both the risks and opportunities associated with this change.
OVC Commissioner Beth DeBush with us this morning. Name, image, likeness, from the conference level to your membership level, where's the interaction there and guidance there? Because here again, this is state by state until hopefully there is a federal law that has everything under one umbrella and everybody's playing by the same parameters. Right now, this thing's state to state.
It is state to state right now, and I certainly share your comment to say a federal solution would really bring some level of clarity and fairness to student athletes. I worry that student athletes are, while they've been given this opportunity, again, they shoulder some of the burden to be able to figure out what they can and cannot do. The role is different for the conference than perhaps it's ever been with an issue that I've been familiar with, and that we can help and advise and try to educate, but we're not as involved. It's really the schools that are having to work with the student athletes to make sure that they understand what can and can't be done under the state legislation as it currently sits, and to make sure that there's a level of compliance. So I think our role will be more in the education space and helping to provide platforms for compliance, but there's a lot on the institutions, and again, it's going to be incumbent upon the student athletes to work with their schools to really make sure they understand what the legislation in each state allows and provides them the opportunity to do. What we can't do is be involved in helping make connections with entities that may want to use a student-athlete's name, image, or likeness. So that's not the space any of us are to be in under state laws or in those states that don't have laws under the NCAA regulations. So again, it's a very different space for all of us to be in. We've got to stand ready to be helpful and let student-athletes explore this opportunity. And for some student-athletes, they're going to have tremendous opportunities to promote their image and likeness on talents that have very little to do with intercollegiate athletics and just other talents they possess. So it's an interesting time. It's an exciting time, but I absolutely share your view that we need a federal solution to provide more unity across the board.
By the way, I got an NIL deal with my tailor, Nashville Tin and Awning. Just thought you'd...
Yeah, I know.
There you go. Well, I've only known you 30 years, Beth, so I can joke with you. Beth DeBush with us, the OVC commissioner. A lot of returning players. There's some every year. There's so many just wonderful players that always shows up in the draft and then playing at the next level. We can just go on and on about that. But I guess I'm a little bit of a homer on this one. But Eddie George is the new head coach at TSU. I didn't know if you'd heard.
Somehow I had heard through that
yes.
reference, and it was absolutely delightful to have him part of Media Day. It certainly brought a good level of energy and support. What is more significant to me, though, is not the name recognition or the accolades or all his accomplishments, as he just seems to be such a good man of character, and I think he's going to fit in so very well with the football coaches that make up the fraternity and the OVC. In my time here, which is 12 years, we've always had just a good group of football coaches that seem to get along fairly well and like to coach because they love the sport and love to help young men just develop as to the people that they will be as adults. And he just seems like he's going to fit in just tremendously. So the excitement and the notoriety is terrific, but most importantly, just the character that he brings to the table and how he will add and fit in so very well. I'm excited to get to work with him. And because of the pandemic, we really haven't had the opportunities that we normally would have had to interact back in the spring when he was hired. So I'm excited for this football season to start for so many reasons, but that's one of them.
Well, I tell you, I had him on right after that here on the show, and then I've talked to him several times, obviously, since. And, you know, he says he's going to use this, you know, Jackson down at Jackson State, Deion Sanders, right? And you know the notoriety that both of those have brought to not only their respective schools, but for HBCU institutions and certainly the Southern Heritage Classic. That second week of the season down in Memphis is already a huge deal. Now you got Deion and Eddie coaching it. But I tell Eddie, I said, Eddie, if you're out on a recruiting trail, you're going to, you know, cross paths with Deion, certainly. And, you know, you always want to go after, you know, you always, if you're a recruiter, you got to have the mother on your side, right? You got to have the mother on your side. And I said, the difference with you and Deion, Eddie, is that the mother's going to want to party with Deion, but wants to marry you.
So did you take that as...
He loved it. Yeah, he loved it. He said, I want to use that. So...
That's good. Helping in any way you can. I like that, Greg.
This TV deal, everything, how is everything for fall and then going forward? I know the OVC and how strong those platforms are across all of the sports, really, with the ESPN Plus and everything else you do with ESPN.
Well, they've certainly been a good partner, and isn't that funny? This used to be news that we had a partnership with ESPN, and we have an exclusive partnership with ESPN, and the distinction between digital and linear used to be significant. Now you don't even remember whether you're watching a digital feed or a linear feed. So the good news is every single OVC football game will be carried on one of the platforms, so anybody that wants to watch OVC football can. And, you know, the takeaway for me, yes, yesterday was twofold: the excitement and the fact that every single coach talked about the fact that this year any team could win this championship, and there's just such a conference championship, and there's just such a high level of competition with the schools and the OVC and a great level of parity. So it'll lead to an exciting season, and again, I've said it a couple times, I just can't wait for it to start. And I think it'll just be almost a sigh. We know the pandemic issues will still be there at some level, but just help us also get back to that feeling of what is normal, what is typical, and let these student athletes really shine.
Every current OVC football team has been ranked in the past 5 years. That's saying
that's right.
Something.
Isn't that phenomenal? And when you think of the parity, we had 3 ranks at the end of last year, so that really sets up well. And the character that they showed to be able to play, I have to believe that experience of last year just should give a heightened level of confidence in what these student athletes can do and overcome. So they should come to practice this year just feeling really good about themselves.
Beth DeBusch, the commissioner of the OVC, joining us this morning on the F&M Bank phone line. Beth, thank you as always, and looking forward to another school year, and particularly football in the OVC.
Thanks, Greg. I look forward to seeing you, and good luck with that rest of that Notre Dame hour, okay?
All right. Thank you, Beth. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Beth DeBusch, commissioner of the OVC, and as she mentioned, a Notre Dame grad. Speaking of that, Pete Weber, another Notre Dame grad, the voice of the Preds, will be co-hosting next hour. John's out today. Be back in here tomorrow. Until the top of the hour, though, if you want to give us a call, please do. 615-844-5600.
Are you looking to start your own home gym? Hey guys, it's Zach, and I've got the hookup for you. Premier Fitness Source has opened a new location here in the Nashville area, and they are there to help you build the gym of your dreams. They can help you with residential and commercial exercise equipment and with the entire process from design to sales, installation, and maintenance. They are located at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. From ellipticals to weight benches, they have all the tools you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. Go check out out their website at premierfitnesssource.com or go see them in Brentwood at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700, next to Publix. And check out their Instagram at PFS_Tennessee. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to receive a free gift. Again, that address is 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. At Premier Fitness Source, they are committed to more than your satisfaction.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When you're ready to buy something, the first thing you do is go online. But buying a home is different. You've got loan applications, pre-approvals, competing offers, the list goes on. That's where a Realtor comes in. Realtors have expertise and local knowledge to give you a competitive edge that a search bar just can't. And in today's market, an edge is what you need. So when you're ready to buy a home, the first thing to do is make sure you have an agent who's a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
It's Greg Pope, John Burton Show. John out today, back tomorrow. Pat and Cook running things in here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. You want to give us a call? Do. 615-844-5600 as well. Predators, well, next hour, Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators, is going to join us as guest co-host for the hour. And Pete Pranica, the TV voice of the Grizzlies, will join us. So we'll double up on Pete's next hour. Yesterday, the Predators did announce their preseason schedule is going to be against. They're going to have six preseason games. They'll play Florida twice, Tampa Bay twice, Carolina twice. There will be two games at Florida on September 26th, 2:30 and 6 o'clock. Then September 30th at Tampa Bay, October 2nd versus Tampa Bay. And then October 5th, the Hurricanes on the road, and then October 9th. So now there will be, there'll be two home games, four road games, if that reads right. Yeah, four, because the two to start it out will be in Florida, then at Tampa Bay, three, and then at Carolina, October 5th, four. So only two home games of the pre-six that they got there. But if you notice, they're two at each spot each time they go. So thought it'd be, interesting, be more than that. Also, one news item coming out, it may have flown under the radar. St. Louis Cardinals, their second round draft pick happened to be a Vanderbilt commitment, and Baez is his name. He actually $2.25 million signing bonus. That was $1 million over the slot value for his pick in the second round, and only a half a million behind. Half a million behind what they paid their first rounder. So, kid out of Boston through the Dominican Republic. So, Vanderbilt losing their second round, the second round draft pick of the Cardinals, the Vanderbilt commitment gone to up there as well. And as we mentioned, we were talking about it. Aaron Rodgers, there's reports out, Adam Schefter reporting, 2 years extension was offered by the team to Aaron Rodgers earlier this summer. That would put him at 5 years total and would have made him the highest paid quarterback and player in the NFL. Apparently he has not accepted it or turned it down. He hadn't signed it, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a number that Aaron is looking for at this point. I think the best case the Packers can expect is Aaron comes back for this next upcoming year, but I think any chance of an extension beyond, I think he's got either 2 or 3 more years left on this deal. I think that's pretty much out the window. I think they've peed him off one too many times, and they're really going to have to hope this Jordan Love pick was worth kind of upsetting, some say, the most talented quarterback of all time. But Aaron Rodgers, he's hell-bent on getting out of Green Bay one way or another.
Yeah, it seems like that. You'd think, this is all posturing. I don't know. You know, I don't really.
Posturing can only last so long, and I think that stance has gone by. I think when Aaron keeps going on TV and keeps says the same thing, I think we just got to wonder. I think this is legit. I think he's on one, and he's going to see this one out.
He's almost backed himself into a corner and painted himself into that corner by steadfastly saying, I'm not coming back. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, what happened? Huh? Well, if the money didn't turn it.
Right.
So, what's he already making? What, 40 something million?
$256 million throughout his NFL career.
Right. And then I guess to eclipse Mahomes, he would have to go over 50 million, yeah. Right? Because that's what Mahomes is, isn't it? 50 million, something
it's
like that?
Right now. And the thing is, with that Mahomes contract, these first couple of years are actually pretty doable. So the Chiefs are living large. But Aaron is not wanting kind of the backload the deal. He's wanting it now. He wants the money now. But the Packers are staying steadfast in that pursuit as well. They're calling his bluff just as much as Aaron is calling theirs. So it's the poker match of the ages, I guess you could say. And we'll see who folds first.
Now, what were you telling me, Vanderbilt football numbers, head coach Clark Lee? I missed that.
Yeah, so Clark Lee came out. Well, he actually didn't even come out. Right now, if you go to the Vanderbilt.com, their football page, and look at their roster, there is not one number on any of their players listed right now. And he's come out and said that these numbers are going to be earned. So right now, there's not going to be one number on any back of a Vanderbilt player at the start of a fall camp coming up, so it's only going to be the names on the back of their jerseys. And
there will be the names, but not the numbers.
Right. In the thought process is, you kind of see this in high school.
That's what I was thinking.
My high school kind of did this, and I think you can get away with it kind of there. You got kids down there, but when you've got 4- and 5-star players coming to play SEC football, does that tactic get a little old to you, Greg?
Well, I just think Butch Jones and the gimmicks, we caught up with him and all those, phrases and sayings and gimmicks and yada, yada, yada. Just go play football. Don't worry about, things that shouldn't matter, right?
And I agree there. And then there's also a point, I'm not sure there's many players on that roster that earned a number with how they played last season. So I get some of the sentiment, but I just think at this level, these old tricks really don't work. It's winning football games. That's going to get the guys to rally around each other, and that's a problem Clark Lee has right now, because the talent on that roster right now isn't exactly what you would describe as great. So he's going to have to work a miracle or two to kind of get some early success and really get some momentum, because I think that's what this program needs, Greg, is it's been dead in the water for quite some time with Derek Mason, and right now Clark Lee is just looking to energize and find some life in the program.
I think they ought to go with the uniforms given to the Three Stooges and their football promos. Have you seen those photos?
Yes.
Curly has a question mark. Larry has half, just 1/2, the half sign. And then Mo, H2O2. Which is water, but so.
I'd sign you up as head coach, Greg.
The question mark.
Yep.
Yeah, that team, I can coach that team.
Yep.
Just get out of the way. All right, let's do this. Let's get out of the way of the break.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Mokara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue downtown.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
At Lowe's, we know your home is an expression of you, and we see you walking down these aisles of possibility, running your finger on that marble top Allen and Roth vanity, regularly $5.99, but now $3.49, and finding that perfect rattan pendant at an everyday low price of $99.98. In our showrooms of style, you'll find whatever you're into at a price you'll really get into. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see associate at Lowe's.com for details. Valid through 8/29/21, U.S. only.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Today's going to be partly sunny with an isolated shower or thunderstorm, the high 88. Partly cloudy tonight, low 68. Sunshine Wednesday, can't rule out a stray afternoon shower or thunderstorm, the high 92. Utilizing the resources of the Willabug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Love our listening audience, becoming good friends with many of them over the years, and always welcome. So I was breaking down the numbers on the Three Stooges. There's football, promo shots and everything, and Curly has a question mark, and Larry has a half, and I said H2O2 that Mo was wearing was water. A caller called and said what?
It was hydrogen peroxide, not
okay.
Water.
Okay. We were both right here, according to the interweb, so it must be true. Yep. When molecular hydrogen, H2, and oxygen, O2, are combined and allowed to react together, energy is released. The molecules of hydrogen and oxygen can combine to form either water or hydrogen peroxide. So... there.
Don't say you don't learn nothing on listen to sports radio.
Except
I didn't
how
know
to
that.
Do. Don't learn. That's a. You don't know how to not do anything. Is that a double negative? So, anyway, I just want to mention that. But coming up next hour, Pete Weber will be joining us as well. But also, Braves baseball, if you mentioned, they got rained out. As we mentioned, got rained out. They will be playing tonight, 6:05, 6:20 against the Padres. They, you know, I didn't even include the Padres in this stretch. Yeah. They got the Padres today, the doubleheader tomorrow, 11:05 pregame, and then 4:05 pregame for the doubleheader tomorrow. That game from last night moved to tomorrow afternoon. That day game was already set. So then they go to the Phillies for 4. They go to the Mets to 5 after playing the Padres. And guess who they go? Guess who after the Mets they go to? They go to Milwaukee, the division leading Milwaukee Brewers. So there's you a stretch.
Happy July.
Yeah, there's quite a stretch. Third, you know, after, and they play 12 games in 10 days. Doubleheader Monday, there'll be the Mets 5 games in 4 days. A doubleheader Monday with the Mets, then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. Thursday through Sunday with Philly, and then today 1, tomorrow 2 with the Padres. So. Yeah, the gauntlet there for the Braves is, will they, you know, by the end of the month become sellers or buy? I think they sort of stand pat, really. I don't know if they, yeah, who knows? I mean, they're only, like I said, 4.5 back of the Mets after the Mets won last night over the Reds in 12 innings, 15-11. I was watching that, boy. Boy, you get to the bullpens, either one of those teams, they're awful. We got that. Also, I was down at looking at some of the SEC Football Media Day stuff, some of the things. Lane Kiffin comes out yesterday and takes a just anonymous Mississippi State tweet about having an affair with an ex-Ole Miss cheerleader. And he goes on the offensive for that. Let it go, Lane. Let it go. But then again, seems to be a lot of smoke with that one. Anyway. Coming up next hour, of course, with John out today, Pete Weber, voice of the Predators, will be our guest co-host. A lot to get to on the Predators front, obviously. And then about 25 minutes into the next hour, Pete Pranica, the voice, the TV voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, will join us as well. So hang out.